Good evening. Welcome to worship. This is the third Sunday and Easter, and our text for tonight is the Walk to Emmaus. For those of you who are joining us virtually for worship, we welcome you here, and we thank God that you are present with us, though we would prefer in-person worship. A couple of announcements that I want to highlight for you. Our newsletter for the month of May is published, is available in print if you'd like us to mail one to you, or you can go to our emmanuelofrochester.org website, and you can download it there or view it there along with our bulletins. If you're in need of anything, please contact us. We can send you Bible study notes for the women's study and for the men's study as well. And each day at 4:31 p.m., we join together for prayer, praying that God would bring an end to COVID-19 and that he would renew and restore his people with the gift of life. So thanks for joining us for worship. We'll begin tonight with our brief order for confession and forgiveness found on page 10 in the front of the With One Voice. Page 10. We worship as we live in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In silence, let us confess our sins unto a merciful Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our gathering hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen, number 674 in the With One Voice hymnal.
Jesus is risen, trumpets resounding in glorious light. Splendor the Lamb, heaven forever. Oh, what a miracle God has in sight. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, alleluia. To the people, gift of the future now flowing to me. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. Weeping be gone, sorrow be silent, death put asunder, and Easter is bright. Cherubim sing, O grave be open, clothe us in wonder, adorn us in light. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah. City of God, Easter forever, golden Jerusalem, Jesus the Lamb. River of life, saints and with creation to God the I Am. Jesus is risen, and we shall arise. Give God the glory, hallelujah.
Our service continues on page 28 in the front of your With One Voice. Page 28. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people. You alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, Jesus reveals himself and is present with us in the breaking of the bread. May our hearts burn within us and our eyes be open to his presence among us and for us through his redeeming work. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Acts chapter 2, 14a, and verses 37 to 41. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 116, found on page 4 of the bulletin, and we will read it responsively. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me.
I suffered distress and anguish, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I believed even when I spoke. I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds.
The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass.
The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Alleluia, the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Normally at this point, we would have a children's sermon, but I already recorded that separately, and that is on the Emmanuel Facebook page. I invite the parents or grandparents that have little ones to go there and to experience a children's message with their little ones that they love. We'll continue our worship now by singing, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." The words are printed on page 2 of the bulletin.
Daily walking close to
let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Just a closer walk with thee, precious Jesus, that's my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, Lord, let it be. Walking with open eyes and with hearts on fire for Jesus. Walking and talking with Jesus. Do you like to walk? Do you like to walk alone? Do you like to walk with a special friend, a loved one? Do you like to walk fast, or do you prefer a leisurely stroll? Some people do power walking. Some people walk for fundraisers. There's a lot of virtual walking happening these days. In fact, on my way over to the church to put the service together tonight, I noticed there were all kinds of people keeping maybe 40, 50 feet distance, but they were all walking and talking as they took their stroll. Good exercise for the body, good exercise for the soul as well. Walking and talking with Jesus. Do you remember the first steps you took? Probably not. You were inside your mother's womb and she was doing the walking for you. And then you were born, and what a delight it was. Even on those nights when maybe you were colicky, or maybe when you had an upset stomach, and they would walk you so that they could, as they were rocking and walking you, get you to sleep so that they could get some sleep too. And then you got to that point where you were laying on your baby blanket, and all of a sudden you rolled over from the front to the back and from the back to the front. And everyone was cheering for you and singing your praises. And then you got up on your knees and there was this rocking motion, and before you knew it, you were doing what Mom and Dad hoped you'd do. You were crawling. Oh, they could hardly wait until you could walk on your own. And they got you one of these walkers that you could be sat into, and it would hold you up and give you stability, and you could get strength in your legs, and pretty soon you were able to crawl over to the couch, pull yourself up, and walk alongside of it. And maybe it was Grandma, maybe it was Grandpa, but somebody said, walk to me, come on, walk to Baba. And you did. You surprised yourself and there was a great big grin on your face. Walking. Our gospel reading for tonight is the Emmaus walk, or the walk to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24. When we get older, we sometimes rely upon a different kind of walker, the kind of walker that can sustain us and give us stability lest we fall. Walking and talking with Jesus. St. Paul, when he writes to the church in Ephesus, reminds us that we used to walk in sin, in the footwear of Satan, if you will, and we were as good as dead. But God, who is rich in mercy, made you alive in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's not by works, lest anyone should boast. It's the gift of God. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Walking. That's what God created us for. That's what Jesus redeemed us for, so that we could walk in newness of life. In fact, Paul says that to the Christians in Rome. He says in Romans 6, "Shall we sin all the more that grace may abound? By no means. We've been buried and raised with Jesus. In baptism, every day we are dying and we are rising with Jesus. So that," Paul says, "we might walk in newness of life." Walking and talking with Jesus. Our gospel reading for tonight begins with these words. That very day. What a strange way to begin a story. That very day. What day are we talking about? Well, if we back up a few verses to Luke chapter 24, verse 1, we find out that it's the third day. It's Easter, Easter Sunday. And we remember in the morning the women came to the tomb, and it was empty. And the women saw men that were dressed in dazzling apparel, a vision of angels. And they said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, just like he told you." Remember? Remember how he told you when he was still with you that it was necessary for the Son of Man to be handed over and to be crucified and on the third day rise from the dead? Remember? And the women remembered. And they went running to the 11 and the other disciples, and they said, "We've seen the Lord, he's alive." And what did they say? They said, "It's an idle tale." They thought it was nothing more than an idle tale, and they would not believe. That very day. That's the day that St. Luke is talking about. The third day, Easter. When Christ has appeared, when the women have given the testimony, have borne witness to the truth, and the disciples don't believe. And two of those disciples, one is Cleopas, and the other one is a companion, somebody who's walking with him, a fellow walker. Tradition says maybe his wife Mary, the wife of Cleopas, also known as Clopas, or maybe it was their son. Or maybe this other disciple isn't named so that you and I can find our way into this story on the road to Emmaus, on the way home when all of our hopes have been dashed to pieces and when all we know is gloom and doom and sadness. On that very day, two of his disciples, they're walking and they're talking. Now it's interesting because in Luke 24, it's not just a casual conversation that they're having. No, there's a special word there. It's the word that we get the English word homiletics from. In other words, they're sermonizing. Can you imagine that? They're sermonizing. They're having a homiletical conversation. Well, they're having church, if you will. And they're talking about all these things that have happened, and suddenly a stranger accompanies them, and they don't recognize him. Disciples of Jesus don't recognize Jesus. Really? Well, St. Luke tells us that their eyes were kept from seeing, kept from recognizing him. And Jesus listens to their conversation and he says, "What things? What are you talking about?" They said, "Don't you know? I mean, you've been living in a cave, man? Jesus of Nazareth, you know? He was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, and we hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. But they crucified him. He's dead. It's all over. And besides, it's the third day. And moreover, some women amazed us. They said they saw a vision of angels that said he's alive." Can you imagine that? You know, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, right? I mean, sometimes we can't see what's right there in front of our own eyes. Our eyes are kept from seeing. Our ears are kept from hearing. And our hearts, they're just filled with fear and sadness, like the days of COVID-19, when all of a sudden we have to learn to walk in a whole new way. Let me give you some examples of what I mean by we can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes when Jesus is right there in our face and we can't see him. There's a pastor. His name is Leif Anderson. And on October 8th, 1956, his father took Leif to Game 5 of the World Series. It was in New York. It was the Brooklyn Dodgers playing the Yankees. And Leif said, "I was so excited because I was a huge Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and I just knew that they were going to cream the Yankees. And I went with my dad to the game. And you know what happened? They didn't even get a man on base. And they lost the game 2-0. Well, years later, Leif was sharing the story with a parishioner, somebody who was like a walking encyclopedia of baseball knowledge and statistics. And the guy says, "Wait a minute now. You said you were at Game 5 of the World Series, October 8th, 1956? Are you kidding me?" And Leif says, "No, I was there. We didn't get a man on base. We lost 2-0. What's the big deal?" And this guy that knew all the statistics said, "What's the big deal? Don't you know? That was the first and only perfect game ever in a World Series. Ever." Huh. Don Larson pitched that game. And suddenly Leif said, "I can't believe it. All I could see was the despair and the disappointment of my team losing. And I missed out on something really huge." It's the third day, and Jesus is walking with Cleopas and the other walker, just like he's walking with us. But they can't see the forest for the trees. Well, it's like the story that I love to tell. It's about Karl Barth. And Karl Barth, as you know, Basel, Switzerland, that's his home. He was a prominent, that was his home. He was a prominent theologian, one of the best in the world in the 20th century. And so there was a tourist that went over to Switzerland and was visiting this community. And he got onto a streetcar. And he sits down next to Dr. Karl Barth. But he didn't know it. And Dr. Karl Barth engages him in conversation, is talking, and says, "You're new, right? I can tell from your apparel, you're a tourist." He said, "Yeah." And Dr. Barth said, "Well, is there something specifically that you're hoping to see while you're here in Switzerland?" And the gentleman said, "Well, actually, I've been a long-time admirer of Dr. Karl Barth. I'd really love to see him." And Dr. Karl Barth looked at him and said, "Well, I know him." "You know him?" The tourist said, "Yes. In fact, every morning I give him a shave." Well, the man got off of the streetcar, and as he walked back to his hotel, he said, imagine that, today, I got to meet Dr. Karl Barth's Barbara. Sometimes we can't see when it's right there in front of us. Or something more contemporary, you know, the epicenter in the United States with this COVID-19 out in New York. Easter Monday, when we were gathered in our homes reading through the entire New Testament, right? On Easter Monday, the 13th of April, Governor Andrew Cuomo, he was giving a talk, if you will. And at the talk, as he's being interviewed, he said, God didn't do this. Faith didn't do this. Destiny didn't do this. We did this. It's math. We lowered the curve. Now, he is supposedly a practicing Roman Catholic. But he must not believe in the providence of God or the sovereignty of God or the gift of holy prayer. And so there were some people, like from Focus on the Family and Franklin Graham and others, who said, well, we better be careful about thinking that somehow God disconnects himself from the world that he has made. God is in everything, even when we social distance, even when we isolate ourselves in our homes. And to claim credit for something is pretty foolish. Unless, of course, we're claiming credit for our sin. Like Paul said, we used to walk in the flesh. We used to walk in sin and trespasses, in the footwear of Satan, but now we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We walk in newness of life by the grace of God. And I have nothing to boast about except the grace of Almighty God. Walking and talking with Jesus. You know the rest of that story in Luke 24. Jesus has been listening, and then all of a sudden he says, oh, how foolish and slow of heart you are to believe. And then he opened up scriptures from Moses through the prophets, the Psalms. He opened up the scriptures and he showed how every one of those Old Testament verses pointed to him, that he was the Christ, the Messiah. We find out later that their hearts were just on fire, but they didn't quite know why. Well, the Word of God does that. We get into the Word gets into us, and it sets our hearts on fire, and not because we've got acid indigestion. How do you spell relief? J-E-S-U-S, not R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Okay? Well, Jesus opened scriptures, and maybe he pointed out Genesis 3 about how the Christ would come and stomp on the head of the serpent. Maybe it was Genesis 22. You know, Isaac, remember that sacrifice, that substitute in the thicket, that lamb on Mount Moriah known as Calvary? Maybe he looked at, Deuteronomy 18. The promise that Moses gave that there would be a prophet that would be like Moses, but greater than Moses, Messiah, Jesus. Maybe he talked about Jonah. No sign but Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be buried and on the third day rise. Maybe he talked about Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. Or the suffering servant song of Isaiah. Like a lamb that's led to slaughter, he opened not his mouth. By his wounds, his stripes, we are healed. Maybe it was Zechariah 9:9. Behold, your king is coming to you, riding on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey. Palm Sunday. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, all of the Bible, all the New Testament, it all points to Jesus, and we can't understand any of it. We won't be able to see with open eyes and with hearts on fire unless we see the Word, and the Word of God is Jesus. Now, it appeared that Jesus was going further. It looks like the walk is over, or maybe in truth it's just about to begin. They get to Emmaus. which is supposedly about 7 miles downhill from Jerusalem. And they say, stranger, it's getting late. Why don't you stay here tonight? We'll have some food to eat, and then you'll be refreshed, and you can wake up in the morning and hit the road. And Jesus said yes, because they prevailed upon him. And they got into the house, and remember, Jesus is the guest. And the table is set, and Jesus becomes the host. You know that wafer we use for communion? It's called the host, the body of Jesus, given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus, the guest, becomes the host. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. He gives it to Cleopas and the other walker. And suddenly their eyes are opened. And Jesus vanishes from their midst, and they go, oh my God, yes indeed. Didn't our hearts burn while he opened the scriptures to us? Yes indeed. Well, the next thing that happens is they don't go to bed and think, well, maybe if we get a good night's sleep, we'll realize it was just an idle tale, fantasy. No, they get on the road. Now remember, it's dark. They got to go 7 miles uphill in the dark back to Jerusalem. And that's what faith does. You see, in this Emmaus story, we see the four ingredients of our worship service. The liturgy for thousands of years has always been a gathering, the word, the sacrament, and the sending. And they get sent up because they're third day people, because they're Easter people, because walking is what they were created and redeemed to do. And they get up into Jerusalem, they find the 11, and they're just chomping at the bit to get the word out. And what happens? Well, they don't get a chance to, because immediately the 11 say, oh, have we got news for you? Jesus has been all over the place. He appeared to Simon Peter. And they go, oh, well, he appeared to us too on the road to Emmaus. Wait a minute. How can Jesus be everywhere at the same time? This is unbelievable. And suddenly Jesus appears in their midst. And he says, peace be with you. That word peace, that's about reconciliation. That's about the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says, peace be with you. And then he shows them the wounds from Good Friday, his hands and his feet. And just in case they think they're seeing a ghost, he says, ooh, that's my stomach growling. You got anything to eat? And they got some fish, and he eats it right there in front of them. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And then Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures, and he tells them to wait in Jerusalem until they're clothed with power from on high. And then they're going to go out and they're going to proclaim the good news of repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. What a story. What a walk. Unbelievable. Jesus walks with us. He talks with us. And he tells us that we are his own. Oh, that's good news, my friends. We keep walking. Maybe a virtual walk for new life here from May 1st to May 10th. Maybe this weekend, a virtual walk or an actual walk with the Salvation Army. You pay $25 and during the weekend you walk 1 mile in your neighborhood for exercise. Or maybe if you've heard the name, Captain Tom Moore. Do you recognize that name? Captain Tom Moore, 99 years old. He'll be 100 years old on April 30th, 5 days. This is a true story. He's a World War II British veteran, and he wanted to do something because the healthcare system is crumbling all around the world, but especially in Great Britain. So he decided, this 99-year-old, before he turned 100, that he was going to get his walker out, you know, that helps steady him as he's walking. And 82 feet on his garden spot there. He said, I'm going to do that 100 times. And he was hoping that he could get some pledges for his walking, maybe raise 1,000 pounds, which would be $1,250. You know how much he raised? He did it in 6 days with his walker. $33 million to help people with health care during this COVID-19. It's all about walking, my friends.
God created you, God redeemed you to walk in newness of life, to the praise of the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together our hymn of the day, I Want Jesus to Walk with Me. It's With One Voice, hymn number 660. Turn to page 33 for our confession of faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Thank you, Jesus, for walking with us on our Emmaus roads. Thank you for speaking not over our heads or with overwhelming displays of majesty, but with clear words that bring Holy Scripture to fruitful life in our hearts. Thank you for making yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. Thank you for your patient kindness when we are sad and bewildered. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You ransom and purify your church with your own precious blood. Grant that the church should constantly glorify you, live in glad obedience to you, and preach your gospel to all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this congregation with your dear presence. Cause our hearts to burn within us as we hear your word. Come to us in the breaking of the bread. Kindle sincere affection and love between us all, and make us eager and tireless in telling others about your love for them, which has triumphed over sin and death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of all who suffer in body, mind, heart, or spirit, especially those we name.
We pray for Melody, for Barb, for Dan, for Amy and Bernie and Elaine, for Kelly, for Denny, for Pam and her daughter Katie, and those we name before you.
Rescue their lives from death, their eyes from tears, and their feet from stumbling. Be gracious and compassionate to them so that they may walk again in the land of the living and praise you forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to this coronavirus pandemic that afflicts us and our global neighbors. Grant relief to those who suffer and comfort all who mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors and cause your people to ever serve you in righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our sending hymn, In the Garden. The words are printed in your bulletin.
None other.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.